listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
200 stations coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. What an action-packed hour. We have this post first round Friday. We get to look back at what happened in round one and pontificate, might be the right word, who did well, who didn't. We're going to do that judiciously. I think there's too much of that going on. Also, look ahead to round two. We got some odds on who's going where of the big players left. Also in the NBA, we look back and look ahead not only to tonight's big game, Golden State Clippers, but two big games this weekend. Joined in studio, pros who know, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joe's. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, and we start here on Straight Out of Vegas with the NFL draft and the move that drew the most criticism from people in sports media and fans around the NFL universe, and that was the Giants' selection of Duke quarterback Daniel Jones, number 6 overall.
I got to tell you something. I got a theory. Haven't heard this anywhere else. So let me just throw some ideas at you, and then we'll see if we can build a case. Number one, who on the planet has the most motivation for the Giants either to not pick a quarterback or pick a quarterback who ends up not being particularly good?
Eli Manning.
I agree. Now, what is the story that came out today that one of the drivers of this pick was Peyton Manning and his depth of insight about just how good Daniel Jones is? Correct?
Correct.
So somehow we're saying, hey, brother of the quarterback, we're picking a quarterback to replace your brother. Help us out. Hey, I got some ideas, Peyton says. I'm skeptical. What do you think, Fez?
Certainly plausible, isn't it?
Okay. Now, let's consider, and we always say this, when you bet, you have to define what you're handicapping. So, for example, if you're betting the MVP, you're not handicapping who had the best season. You're handicapping who the voters think had the best season. That's different. You got to consider the voter bias. Mostly in the NFL, we're thinking the goal is to win. Now, we can get a little more nuanced and say, well, would you rather have an 80% chance to make the playoffs but a less chance to make the Super Bowl, or more chance to make the Super Bowl but, you know, more of a chance of a real catastrophe too, you know, higher risk moves? We can debate all that. But in general, we think winning is what matters. Well, let me ask you a sincere question and be honest. You're the GM of a team. You're the GM of the Giants. Decision A, you think is best for the team. Decision B, you think increases the chance that you keep your job an extra period of time. Maybe an extra year, extra two. Now remember, these GMs are in a weird place. If you're working, you know, like my dad, a coal miner, my mom, a school teacher, if you're working for that, you know, normal salary, you look at these GMs and think, oh my God, they got more money than they know what to do with. But you think about, you know, obviously the taxes, obviously the lifestyle. These GMs sometimes are in a position where, hey, if they can get three more years, they're set for life. If they don't get three more years, they're going to be doing hits on local TV or something to make up the difference. So I don't have any great insight into the Giants GM's financial situation, but let's just say odds are he doesn't have so much money, he doesn't care, right? So now, two scenarios. One is you pick a Kyler Murray type. I know the Giants didn't have a chance to get him, but someone that you think, man, this guy, he should be starting this year, right? On the other hand, you do what you do here and you pick Daniel Jones, which feels like a project. Now, we can all debate, do you really take a project at number six? But he feels like a project. Now, in scenario A, it's Manning versus Murray. At some point, Manning is going to have a bad couple of games. Murray comes in, and all of a sudden now, if he succeeds, the GM's in great shape. But what are the odds of any of these given quarterbacks succeeding? I think the old number was 50%. I think the new number is probably closer to 60 as passing's gotten easier and the bar of difficulty is lowered a little bit to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. But still, you got a 60% chance of, as a GM, saying, that's my guy, I picked him, let's go to the promised land, keep paying me, versus 40% chance, bye-bye. All right. Now, in scenario B, you got Eli Manning. And we've got Eli Manning's numbers. And this is going to buck Brad a little bit. Brad Powers is here. And Brad is going to be making the case Daniel Jones and his numbers aren't that bad. So, you know, maybe let's do that now. I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. This is Brad Powers. And then I'll come over the top.
All right, Daniel Jones. I'm going to make the case, not that Daniel Jones deserved to be the sixth pick, but if you listen to talk radio and the general media consensus about Daniel Jones, I mean, it was thought to be, at least if you're listening to these people, one of the most egregious selections that we see in the NFL draft.
Well, Stephen A. today said in New York, got the pulse on the city. He said, we need a drug test.
Wow.
The Giants GM.
See, I'm going to take the in-between approach. I think Daniel Jones can be a quality starting NFL quarterback. Here's his overall college stats. Completion percentage for his career, 60%. I mean, you'd like it to be a little higher, but that's not too bad. Threw for over 8,000 yards, nearly 2-1 touchdown interception ratio. And here's the thing people don't understand. Ran for more than 1,300 yards. He's more mobile. But here's my biggest thing. They're all, oh, look it. He couldn't compete against top-level competition. He's at Duke football, not Duke basketball. In 8 or 9 games this past season, he is severely out-talented. Don't believe me. Where's his help?
Yeah, but isn't that the situation where he feels like he's almost alone leading his team to a victory with inferior talent? Maybe they win some, maybe they lose some. But boy, let's look at these numbers again. And oh, by the way, we're going to compare them to Eli Manning's numbers last year. Now, we did the research and talked about it a few days ago. Last three seasons, best QBR for Eli Manning. So the 2018, 17, 16 season, best QBR for Eli Manning was last year. So if age is the issue, how do you have your best season the most recent season? Now, Fez, you make an interesting point, which is the league's QBR is going up, but it doesn't mitigate this point.
It doesn't. And bottom line is Eli had a better QBR than 5 other starting quarterbacks last year. I'll read them real quick. Rosen, Jackson, Darnold, Carr, and the San Francisco quarterbacks. I could make a case. Certainly we expect.
So San Francisco, you combined them as a team QBR?
Well, he beat Jimmy G, and I knew that he would beat the rest of them.
Well, man, that listen, you take that very seriously. Oh, wait. Here's Fez historically.
I love Jimmy G.
I do. So if Eli was able to beat five starting NFL quarterbacks, I don't think Jones, coming in as a rookie, is going to be able to do the same.
Yeah, I heard Sal Powell on ESPN yesterday say if he had to, you know, make a major bet on Eli Manning's stat. I mean, how do you measure a quarterback? Let's just use QBR. I don't think any measurement's perfect. But let's use QBR. He said he would bet Eli Manning has a better QBR than any rookie quarterback this year. Meaning, not that he will have a better QBR than all of them, but rather you can pick anyone you want and put him heads up against Eli next season. So Kyler Murray would seem to be the one as the number one pick. Who's going to have a better QBR, Kyler Murray or Eli Manning? Fez, who would you take?
Eli, because Kyler Murray has to play for Arizona, right?
That's interesting. So in a weird way, it feels like it's like the smart people think Eli stinks and the dumb people think Eli is good. I think Eli is a little bit better than his reputation right now. And let's look at these numbers real quick. Completion percentage, Daniel Jones at Duke and playing Temple, Wake Forest, Clemson, North Carolina, etc. 60%. Eli Manning, 66. Playing against the freaking NFL. Yards per game, Daniel Jones, 243 last year. Eli, 268. Yards per attempt, Fez, your favorite single stat.
Yes.
6.8 yards, Daniel Jones, 7.5 Eli Manning. So Eli Manning has better stats against the NFL than Daniel Jones has against college. Now, if he's a project, maybe in 2 or 3 years that changes, but that finishes the story. First, Brad.
I think it's a totally unfair comparison, and here's why.
Hold on a second. Between playing against teams that Duke plays versus the NFL?
Yeah, look at his supporting cast. I would argue Eli Manning has a top five running back and a top five wide receiver.
Well, hold on a second. You can cherry pick anything you want, but if you look at Giants' offense as a team last year, it certainly wasn't a great offense. So relative to the competition in the NFL, I don't think I think Duke, relative to their competition on offense, and Giants, relative to the NFL competition, probably both are at a deficit and a fairly significant one to the average teams they're playing. Right?
No, I don't think so. When you have a top five running back and a top five wide receiver.
I mean, it's like you're playing fantasy, like one of those Stratomatic games where we're going to roll dice. You look, we got the results. We don't have to speculate how good that OBJ Giants team was. We have the numbers. They weren't that great.
And why weren't they good? Eli Manning, maybe?
Well, he had a better QBR than a lot of quarterbacks, so
five.
Now, let's to some degree, and this is important, whatever decimal points we're arguing about don't matter. What I think we all agree with, and you might be right about it, I might be right, but I think what we agree with is Eli, well, this is objective, had a better year last year than he did the year before. And I also think, to finish the conspiracy, and again, I don't like conspiracies. It's the world that imposes them on me. Eli, why did the prior Giants GM get fired?
For benching Eli.
Okay. So now imagine the following. This year, Eli plays. Jones the project. Hey, trust the process. One day, he's 6'5", baby. We got our next Eli. Next year, Eli plays. Jones is sitting there. Yeah, we wish he was playing, but when you have Eli, why would you? And then maybe in year three, Jones plays. And let's say he's got a 40% chance to succeed. The average first-round quarterback, maybe 60%. Let's say this guy is as bad as people think. He's still got a chance. I mean, he should have went in the, late second round? A late second round quarterback has a pretty decent chance to succeed. So now the GM now has a 40% chance that Jones succeeds and he keeps going. He almost guarantees himself 3 years with this move. Because really, the time of judgment doesn't happen till 3 years from now. And the Giants fans are placated by Eli being there. They get to root for him and think about their Super Bowls. So to me, we can sit and act like these guys are dumb. And I'm not sure I'm right about this. But Fez, you're a pretty cynical guy. Jonas, you're even more cynical. Let me ask a very specific question to end the segment. Do you agree that this move almost guarantees the Giants GM 3 more years?
I'd go 2. I don't know if I'd go 3.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying you think Eli plays 1 more year?
Eli could. The wheels could completely fall off.
I mean, anything could happen.
Anything could happen.
Yeah, so
at least 2. At least 2.
What do you think, Jones?
No, not New York. Anybody can go at any time.
I think New York usually is pretty cynical, but they're not cynical about Eli.
No, but I think that there's been enough backlash for Gettleman over the last year that I think he's on the clock whether he wants to acknowledge it or not.
I think he deferred that because to some degree, when you draft a quarterback this high, you got to let him play before you can judge the GM. But, oh, by the way, he probably won't play for a couple years because of the love of Eli. And, oh, by the way, Jones is a project. When we come back, we'll talk about the other teams that made really questionable draft choices. Do we think they were wrong, or is the judgment wrong of them?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will talk about the biggest name to go in yesterday's draft.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 96 degrees. The neon is still sizzling.
RJ, here on Straight Outta Vegas, we have been all over the Kyler Murray situation, all the way from his Heisman odds changing back when he was playing for Oklahoma to how the draft odds changed and him going number one overall. And as it turns out, Kyler Murray did go number one overall to the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, and listen, exciting story. I'm certainly going to watch. And in a way, everything is a TV show. Imagine if these guys were playing pickup, no matter how good they are. And there's guys right now playing horseshoes, at a level equal to Tom Brady throwing a football. And they are firemen in their day job. I mean, literally, they can't make a living from it. So being the best in the world at something is a hell of an accomplishment no matter what. But you don't make a living from it unless it's entertainment. This is entertainment. Now, we bet cold cash over hot takes. I'm skeptical of this. And Brad, being a college or having all the college knowledge, let's think about something. One of the basic premises of amateur handicapping, losing handicapping, Freddie Fanny Pack betting and eating Twinkies on a stick, is don't overreact to what you saw most recently. You've got all these data points. We'll be discussing Fez overreacting to Denver, San Antonio. Left, right, left. It got you dizzy. We don't try to do that typically. Now think about this thought experiment. If this draft, meaning the players available now, but we only make one addition, Josh Rosen also is in the mix. But now this draft happens a year ago. So meaning Kyler Murray is eligible for the draft a year ago. And Josh Rosen's eligible for the draft a year ago. Let's just use those two. How would we characterize Kyler Murray? Like, if you were writing up a draft guide, what would we say?
Historically small, very little in experience, fourth round grade. At best.
And likely to play baseball.
Exactly.
Questionable interest in football.
Yep.
Because I've heard someone say, oh, this is a sign that Kyler Murray loves football. That he had the option to go to baseball and he chose football. What? When he didn't think he was going to be the number one pick or a top pick, he was going to go play baseball. And then it's almost like persons at company number one, company number two offers him $15,000 more, goes to company two. We know why he went. Yeah. Right? So I'm not saying Kyler Murray's making the wrong decision. It's hard to say he loves football. Because if he loved football, you would say, I'm going to go in as a fourth rounder. Let's say that happened. I'm going to take my shot. And oh, by the way, if it doesn't work out, I'll go play baseball and I'll, you know, 2 years later or whatever. Right? So to me, there's no secret formula to predicting NFL quarterback success. But I think if there's one metric, it's grinding and preparation. And if you think about the quarterbacks that are elite and the exceptions to me, and again, these guys work hard, even the ones I'll call exception, but like an Aaron Rodgers feels like a guy with a ton of natural talent, probably not grinding like Brady, right? But when you see Brady, when you see Peyton Manning, when you see Drew Brees, now you look like a Big Ben. Think about the talent Big Ben has over Tom Brady. The size, the arms, everything. Like, what physical tool does Brady have over Big Ben? And Brady's, it's not even a debate. Big Ben's had a really, you know, borderline great career. Tom Brady is the GOAT. So to me, Kyler Murray, the jibber jabber, the whispers, maybe doesn't love the film room. Maybe doesn't love the grind. Have you heard that, Brad?
Yeah, I have.
So think about this a second. Now let's go back a year ago. Where's Josh Rosen go?
First overall pick?
With this quarterback class.
He'd be the
top quarterback. I agree 100%.
Everyone said most NFL ready to start.
I mean, there was a lot of talk of him being number one last year. Now, what's happened in the interim? Listen, give Kyler Murray a ton of freaking credit. What a year.
Yep.
But it's 1 year. It's 14 games or whatever. In college, in an offense that we don't know what level quarterback would put up similar numbers, because seemingly for Oklahoma, every quarterback puts up those numbers. Now, the fact that Baker Mayfield played well this year means it's less likely that Mayfield was really deficient and the system led him to all those great numbers at Oklahoma. But still, it's the quarterback system in history right now.
Yep.
Oklahoma. Okay. So, and what's happened to Josh Rosen? A horrible year. As bad as it gets. But first of all, a lot of rookie you look at Sam Darnold. He didn't have a great year. No, we can point and say, well, late in the season, after he came back from those four games, he surged. Yeah, true. Wasn't a good year.
Terrible year on the road.
Yeah, not a good year for Sam Darnold. So rookies are rookies, usually. Now, there's exceptions. Number two, the most injuries on the offensive line of any team I've seen in memory, Arizona last year. Agree, Fez?
Agree. And, look at David Johnson. Really, really, really good running back. Couldn't do anything last year with that O-line blocking for him.
So you can't throw from your back. I don't think any quarterback could have overcome that O-line. And then I would make the case, and this is from other experts sharing it with me, and I'm listening to the media guys, maybe the worst offensive coaches with the scheme, in the NFL.
NFL head coach that really wasn't ready, only got 1 year.
So what do you like? If you're buying an undervalued asset, and Rosen right now, I believe, is, you want to understand the reasons people are perceiving it to not be highly valuable. I think there's clear reasons for Rosen. It's not just give him another year. It's last year wasn't a fair assessment. And maybe last year for Murray had some advantages that we're not fully realizing. Doesn't mean Murray doesn't do well, doesn't mean that Rosen does do well. But boy, the idea that one's a number one pick and one's getting shipped out of town Doesn't make sense to me. All right, guys, in just 1 minute, Brad Powers is going to tell you the biggest surprises from yesterday. Not his opinion, but based on the Vegas odds.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, Dan Beyer.
The NFL draft will resume at the top of the hour, but the big news in the NFL today once again involves Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. The team announced last night he will not participate in any team activities following the release of audio of his fiancée alleging that Hill abused his son. Today, the Johnson County District Attorney's Office in Kansas reopened the child abuse investigation involving Tyreek Hill. Cardinals do have that first pick of the second round. There's a report from ProFootballTalk.com. They could be making another deal, sending quarterback Josh Rosen to the Dolphins for the 48th overall pick. That would be a second rounder. Again, we'll find out in the next couple of hours or so. Clemson has given head football coach Dabo Swinney the largest contract in college football history. 10 years, $93 million for Dabo. Warriors and Clippers play game 6 tonight of their playoff series at 10 o'clock Eastern time. Warriors are up 3-2 as they play in L.A. Tiger Woods won't play in the Wells Fargo Championship next week in Quail Hollow. It likely means Tiger won't play again until the PGA Championship in 3 weeks at Bethpage Black. Finally, Virginia men's basketball team has declined an invitation to the White House to be honored for their national championship. Head coach Tony Bennett said it would be difficult to get the team together since some players have already left for the pros and others have left the school. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead to the NBA playoffs, a busy weekend in the association. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Jonas, did you hear Dan's professional newsreader skeptical pause at the end of that?
He's one of the best in the business.
I mean, one of the best.
Yeah. Him and no. Steve DeSager and everybody else is racing for second.
Is that the two guys that are there in the day most of the time?
Yeah, it's the two guys who I never wanted to do my updates next to because they're always so much worse.
Okay. Yeah, then I agree with you.
Yeah. Guys, so there has been all sorts of stuff thrown out there in regards to draft grades. You've had stuff with ESPN, NFL Network. Every website that covers the NFL draft now comes out with draft grades. But RJ, you think they might all be completely worthless.
I almost do. I'm going to give you one exception at the end. But think about this for a second. The only way you can grade somebody is if you know them, if you know the subject matter better than they do. So now listen, if there's the answers in the back of the book, it's a moot point. There is no book with the answers when it comes to the NFL draft. So if me and Fezzik are debating a point, oftentimes, we're about at the same level. If it comes to handicapping, Fez is going to usually have a little edge on me, if not bigger than a little. If it comes to other matters, maybe I've got a little edge. But we're having a debate, right? But there's some things I don't know anything about, and Fez could teach me. And then I would do it, and he would say, good, or he would say, bad. Now, let's think about the one case that proves my point so much, I can just say, case closed, and walk away. Oh, by the way, did you see? I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Did you see Lee Corso yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, I've now added a second sign that you're truly big time. The first sign, as we've often said, is talking about $1 million, a million as a stick. So acts on billions, he'll say, give him five sticks. That means give him 5 million.
Wags, five sticks wired now to Wendy Rhodes' personal account.
That is bad. All right? I now found a second one. In the middle of a segment. You would think the guy would wait till the commercial. There's a commercial like every 8 minutes. He just stands up, starts unmiking himself. And he's, guys, I gotta go. and he's like, no one has the guts to tell. I mean, what are they gonna tell Lee Corso?
Nothing.
Like, we're gonna fine you a week's pay? So anyway, gotta love it.
He don't give a care.
Next level stuff. Now, Mike Mayock. Last year.
Mayock.
Last year. He was with the NFL Network, And what was he doing?
NFL draft expert.
And he was grading the GMs. So the assumption was he knew more than the GMs about their team. It's one thing to say that there can be expert, because let's think about it. If Belichick went to TV, you know, the year after he retires, that TV guy is going to know more in a vacuum, abstractly, than any coach out there. But even Belichick is going to say, and he'll probably would say it so relentlessly it'd get boring, listen, this is what I believe generally. We don't know what's going on in that building. We can't really judge. Because how can we? We don't know if the Steelers know something about their tight end, that his knee is hurt, so they need, and maybe it's degenerative, and they need a tight end more than we think they do. All right. But if you think about Mayock, last year he was the one doing the grading. Now he gets the GM's job. You would assume a pretty major raise financially. All right, GMs make more than talking heads, usually. And now, Mayock's getting graded. So somehow last year, he knew more than the GMs. And now he's a GM, so the other talking heads know more than him. How absurd is that? Right? We don't know. I think the only exception to that. Now, listen, we got to talk. So I get it, right? But boy, if money's involved, and that's the thing with Straight Out of Vegas, with what we're doing, we've got our mandate, you know, our responsibility is stronger, right? Colin goes off on a rant. Maybe he thinks, you know, I'm not quite, and I'm not saying Colin thinks this or not, but someone like Colin might say, I'm not quite sure I believe this, but it sounds good. I'm not comfortable doing that when there's literally hundreds of thousands of listeners right now to Straight Out of Vegas, to me. And even if 10% bet $10 on something we say, there's a like a million plus dollars, there's a stick on it, all right, across the country. I don't, in fact, let's open the floor for a second. Make a case where Mel Kiper's grade could possibly have more insight, because here's the thing, and this is going to blow your mind. Every team went to bed last night thinking they had the perfect draft given the situation, because they had the choice. Imagine you're in a fantasy draft. Unless you somehow enter the wrong player, you're done with that draft saying, did as well as I could do. It might have been the stupidest move here, there, but you thought it was the right move. So every GM believes they had a perfect draft given the givens. Now it's their opinion against the Mel Kipers of the world. Fez, can you make the case the Mel Kipers have more insight?
Oh, absolutely not. And the ultimate barometer of who got an A and who got an F, RJ, is how well are these teams going to do this coming year and in the future? And I can tell you this, the odds were out.
But hold on a second. You're saying the ultimate barometer of an A and an F now is something we don't know now.
Correct. But I do know this.
So there should be no grades at all.
And there are no grades, because not one NFL team had their lines move at all based upon what happened in the draft.
And I think that says, you know, to me, the only exceptions to that are, in my opinion, if a team, and I'm not saying week one lines necessarily, if a team takes a quarterback that has no good quarterback, at least they have a chance at a good quarterback.
Right.
And I also believe a team like the Patriots, with so many draft choices, if you give Belichick two shots and everyone else is getting one, it's probably going to improve that team a ton. You know, we said it yesterday, but it is mind-blowing to think the way you could get Mel Kiper. And it's not about Mel Kiper. I respect Mel a ton. He's created an industry. I don't think he knows more than Colbert, the Steelers GM, about the Steelers. Right? Is the way you could get a perfect grade for Mel is each time your pick came up, just turn on ESPN, look at the bottom of the screen, see which player. You could just, you don't even have to have scouts. You don't need a scouting department. You don't need film. Just so you have ESPN cable, right? You could get that over the top or whatever. You look at the bottom, Mel Kiper tells you to pick because that's the guy that he thinks is the best guy left. And if you pick them every time, what kind of grade you'd get? It'd be, this is the greatest draft in history, would be the headline.
Mel Kiper's doing pro bono work for me. Don't even have to pay him. Beautiful.
Exactly. And let's just say this. If Mel Kiper or any of these draft experts I can think of, and again, there might be exceptions where this guy's a GM level guy that doesn't have a job, I'm not going to be optimistic about that team winning very much. So, yes, let's enjoy the experience. Let's talk about it. But understand, we're not sure about any of this. And I think the one possible exception quickly is if everybody disagrees. All the experts, I mean. So let's say we've got 12 experts you trust. If 12 experts disagree, now it's starting to be the wisdom of crowds where even one GM with more insight and maybe more expertise against 12 that are close. And to me, those teams this year were the Raiders. Seemed like almost every, now the debate was it horrendous or just bad? The Giants, again, we talked about Daniel Jones, but also they took a nose tackle from Clemson. And now that, think about it, running back last year with the first pick, nose tackle this year. It feels like this is a different NFL the Giants are getting ready for.
Good point.
And the Ringer guys were talking about that. And then I think the other team, and this was need, was Houston. No one liked the offensive tackle Howard's pick. So if you got everyone against it, I'm going to be a little bit skeptical. But otherwise, man, oh man, let's not act like we know what we don't know. When we come back, hopefully we know about this. We got three NBA games, one of them tonight, picks, and also a pick on the next or tonight's draft in the NFL, second, third round.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. The NBA playoffs are a busy one this weekend. We get it started tonight at Staples Center where the Warriors are at the Clippers. A 10 Eastern time tip-off. Golden State up 3-2 in the series and a 10-point favorite in this one.
Typical shows would have been talking about this from the front. We haven't even mentioned it. Actually, I forgot. We've got a 20-2 trend in this game, Brad Powers.
Yeah, and it's shocking to say the least. Road favorites of 7 points or more in the NBA playoffs the last 7 years, 22-0 straight up, 20-2 against the spread, RJ.
So 7 years, 7 points or more on the road, perfect on the money line, winning the game, 20-2 against the spread. Now, to me, it means something. It means when these superior teams are focused because they're on the road, they tend to extend these leads and play really well. Fez, who do you like in the game?
I am passing the game because the...
Oh, that's fascinating.
I like the total, RJ.
Oh!
I'm going under 231. It's all about defensive effort. Golden State, that effort was lacking in their loss. Their shocking loss at home. I expect their effort will be there on defense. We're going to go under the 231.
I'm a little skeptical because I think if Golden State gets a lead, a big lead at the end, they're going to be alley-ooping. They're going to be, because they got, you know, I know they got Houston coming up, but it feels like it's going to be such a relief from all the skepticism. By the way, since Durant's been at Golden State, the Warriors have only had one playoff series longer than five games. The Houston series last year. So this is the second time in three seasons it's gone more than five games. Again, Golden State's doing things this year I've never seen them do with Durant. I think it's a concern if you're a Golden State fan.
Following the Spurs win over the Nuggets last night, we've got a Game 7 set for tomorrow night at Denver, and the Nuggets are a six-point favorite.
Fez, we got like 20 seconds a game here. This line seems crazy to me. home field, home court for Denver is 4. All of a sudden now in a game 7 that Denver's never played, that Malone, the coach, has never coached a game 7, they're against Popovich. Somehow they're going to be like 2 points better, 4 + 2 = 6. Why not love the Spurs here?
Yeah, because of the home court advantage.
So you don't love the Spurs?
I don't love the Spurs. I lean to the Spurs because Denver, best home record in the NBA, 34-7 straight up during the regular season.
Yeah, and the Spurs weren't great on the road either.
Game 1 between the Sixers and the Raptors coming up tomorrow night, and Toronto is a 6.5-point favorite.
10 seconds.
I'm going to lean to Toronto, 3-1 series advantage. The only loss Toronto had against Philly was when Kawhi Leonard did not play during the regular season.
So you're saying matchup edge for not just a better team, but you like the matchup.
Yes.
Game 1 between the Bucks and the Celtics sees Milwaukee a 7.5-point favorite on Sunday.
Now, what's Milwaukee's home court?
Home court? 4 for their home court advantage? Yes, 4.
I mean, this guy. You know something? You're not getting. I'll give you 10 more seconds. I mean, what could he think I meant by Milwaukee's home court? What do you mean?
It's 4.
All right. And the line's 7. So somehow Milwaukee's 3 points better. They're getting a lot of love. 10 seconds.
I've got them 3.5 points better. They got revenge, playoff revenge from losing game 7 against Boston last year. I'd lean to Milwaukee.
When you say Milwaukee, what do you mean? Oh, wait. Fez. I mean, he ends the week with it, Jonas.
It's a Friday with Fez. Come on.
He's as reliable as the sun coming up.
The Odd Couple is next. We are straight out of Vegas, back on Monday, 6 Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.